Greg Owen. Here's a chance for Ante Milicic. He lines up the shot. Ante Milicic draws first blood in the grand final. The Sharks silence the Subiaco crowd. Another look at the watch from Mark Shields. And there is the whistle. 12 long years, the wait is over. The Olympic Sharks are champions of Australia. They came into the game with a horrendous run of injuries. They came into the match as underdogs, but they've walked away with a championship.
Yes, we finish off with our greatest game segment. And for Sydney Olympic fans, that day in 2002 was one never to be forgotten as they defeated Perth Glory by a goal to nil in the grand final to claim their second NSL championship. In goal for Olympic that day was, of course, Clint Bolton, who joins us now. Evening, Butzer.
Hey, chaps.
Good to have you on the show. I promise you we'll have a heavy metal question at some point, but we'll start off talking about the football.
Very nice.
There were nearly 43,000 at Subiaco that day. Was anyone giving you a chance in the build-up? Do you remember?
I'll start with the end. And okay. One of the best post-match interviews of all time, in Ante Milicic. I've never seen better. He did quote the odds on offer for Olympic Sharks, as we were known back then, to win this game was $5.25.
Wow.
A one-off game, $5.25 on offer, was just delicious, was the quote from the test. So I think that probably sums it up the best.
Did you use that as motivation on the day?
Oh, yeah. Of course you do. You don't need any other reasons to get up for big games, grand final and such. But if someone's willing to throw something out there that you can use, then you gather that in. Any little extra motivation, any little emotional attachment you can get to the game, you feed off it. And that was a big one, most definitely. So going away from home, packed Subiaco, pretty much all Perth people, maybe 1,000 Olympic supporters did the trip. So we took everything we could get and used it.
I'm pleased you brought up Ante Milicic because he once told me, and I remember this clear as day, when he was playing for Parramatta Power in 03-04, I think it was, before the grand final, he told me this deadpan that the finals were his time, with the emphasis on his. And he had the stats to prove it, to be fair. He scored four times in that series, and of course, including the winner in the grand final, which was some finish. But he was that sort of player, wasn't he, on the big occasion?
Are you talking about this? Did you do that interview with the Tez?
Yeah.
The Parramatta Power?
That's it.
Yeah, that's another classic interview. You got to dig up that footage. That is absolute gold, that interview. But that's the Tez. Look, there's players that come and go that talk a good game, but don't back it up. The Tez, he talked a great game and he always backed it up. So I never had a problem with anyone talking themselves up if they delivered on the field, and the Tez was as good as anyone.
Hopefully he gives us some good post-match interviews now as a coach. As good as he used
to
as a
player. No more.
I think that's gone.
Actually, I'll get a bit of trivia. In doing the research for this game, I sort of realised that this was my first season in the National League, and I scored, Boots, I don't know if you remember, my first ever National League
goal. Your first goal.
You remember that one, buddy?
Yeah.
Right foot as well.
There's plenty of players that are... Yeah, there's plenty of players that scored against me, Broski. You're one of them, mate. Don't worry. There's been plenty.
Mate, going into this game...
I do remember, to be fair, that was at Marconi,
wasn't it? That's right. I was marking Jade, exactly. Jade North was running alongside me. It was a nice day. That was the only goal I scored that
good
year,
times,
actually.
Mate. Good
mate,
times.
Mate, talking about the game, back onto the game, you mentioned being underdogs massively at the TAB, but with good reason. I think obviously Perth finished miles ahead of second place, 13 points. You had a few injury concerns going into the game. Did you genuinely feel like you had a chance when going to Perth and winning?
Broski, I'm sure you feel the same way. Any single game, regardless of the odds being stacked against you, you feel like you can find a way. Now, I've always felt that in any game I've played in, whether it be a training match where you just odds are against you, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You always feel like you can find a way.
Yeah.
And we had some big injury concerns. Troy Halpin, now, probably, if someone asked me the best players I've ever played with, I've always put down two names, Mark Viduka and Troy Halpin. I just regarded him that highly. And he was out of that game. He picked up the injury in the game before. And big Ante Juric, who was playing as a sweeper. Remember the old sweeper system?
Yep,
he was playing as a in the back three, the sweeper. He dislocated his elbow also in the game before against Newcastle, had to come off, and there was a big concern about him playing, but he got padded up and he had this 90-degree wing that he used all game. It was brilliant, but he got the job done. So we had some injury concerns, but there was enough quality in our team to cover. You know, we had some players, mate. It was a ridiculously good team. Jado, you've already mentioned, Jade mm-hmm. North. You know, Dura, he ended up missing out in the final.
Yep.
That was his first season at Sydney Olympic. You know, Paul Kohler at the back, Troy Halpin, midfield, there's Ante Milicic. There was Andy Packer on the right, Lindsay Wilson as well, as wingbacks. Greg Owen.
That's some team.
The list goes on, mate.
Labor was on the bench. He couldn't even make the team. So we had a ridiculously good team.
And then the game itself, Butse, how do you remember it sort of playing out?
Bower. Typical final in a lot of ways. But when you go away from home, it's not about entertainment. It's not about entertainment, Broski. No. And the big dance, you just got to get the job done. And we defended for our lives. We didn't really give them much of a sniff the whole game. You know, I barely, from memory, I did a little bit of work, but not a lot. Defenders were first class, led by Ante Juric, Jado, Paul Kohler at the back. And the Tez, as usual, delivers just after half time. Probably one of the best grand final goals I've ever been a part of or seen in the country, to be fair. So that sums it up. And we silenced Subiaco. It was beautiful.
You sure did. Butse, this was your second NSL title. Of course, you won it with the Brisbane Strikers in 1997. And you went on to win a couple more A-League titles with Sydney FC as well. Do they have sort of a ranking list in order in your mind, or is one equal to the other in your head?
Probably everyone's on par for different reasons. It's hard to really rank them at all. I think the last one that I won at Sydney, season five, and Broski will know, it was a tough season off the back of season four. For me personally, it was a really emotional season. And I felt personally that was the most satisfying season that I've been a part of from a personal standpoint, because I was getting booted from the club, from Sydney FC, at the end of that season. I had to keep my head halfway through and get the job done. So for personal reasons, that one gave me the most satisfaction. But taking in the whole picture of grand final, the grand final week, the day itself, they're all pretty similar for different reasons. You know, the first one, in front of 40-odd thousand at Brisbane. No one expected us to win that. We get the job done. Home crowd, beautiful. And then away from home, totally different story. It was just that quiet when the Tez scored. It was an eerie feeling, and pretty similar to what we did in at Etihad Stadium season five with Sydney FC. So very different, all brilliant in their own right. But Sydney Olympic away was a special one, because I feel like that was my favourite part of my football journey, was my time at Sydney Olympic. So that was really special.
And just in case you don't know, Ante Milicic is called Tez. It's something to do with Terry Greedy. I don't know exactly what it is.
No, not
at all. That's why he's called Tezza. Anyway, sorry, Broski, I digress.
No, all good. We usually ask about the celebrations after the game when we speak to people on the greatest games. What do you remember of that night after?
Bugger all.
Really?
I remember. Yeah, I remember, because I was in Perth and we had to travel. Perth sort of shuts down. I can't remember what that was. So it wasn't a massive, massive thing going on. But from memory, we went to some Greek restaurant and we sort of celebrated there with some of the travelling supporters, and, you know, just got stuck into some decent Greek food and stuff like that. I honestly can't remember a big night, to be honest, Broski, as opposed to
season five. Maybe it was a big night. And that's why you can't remember it.
Yeah, maybe. This is where my memory's been tested. Big nights after big games.
Hey, Butse, is there a place for clubs like Sydney Olympic in the modern setup via a national second division? Are you a fan of that concept?
Most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. I would have loved to have seen in the latest expansion or the one before to see one of the clubs to. One of the older clubs from the NSL days to come into the A-League and to connect what was, you know, labelled as old football and bring that to the A-League. I would love to have seen that. To this point, it hasn't happened, but I still think there's room for it, and hopefully it happens. Mm.
And do you stay in touch with any of the boys from that night?
Oh, let me think. I barely stay in touch with anyone anymore, to be honest.
You stay in touch with me, Butzer.
Oh, yeah, about it, mate, because we connect on the metal. So
yeah, that's it.
That's easy. The Tez now and then, by the text. I send him a cheeky text if there's something funny to give him. What else? Not much.
Well,
no,
but maybe now they've heard you. Maybe they'll send you a text or two. Hey,
Rasko.
Oh, there you go.
Peter Raskopoulos. There you go. He rang me out of the blue the other day and he was talking about a 20-year reunion for this particular match.
Hey, Butzer, the clock's almost beaten us, but I did want to finish off with a question about metal. So, obviously, I'm a metal fan. We must have some listeners who are into our genre of music. Give us a recommendation for our listeners' playlist this week.
Mate, you should have texted me about this one. I'm currently listening to the latest Iron Maiden. I don't know if you've listened to it, Simon.
I have.
It's average for me.
Really?
So I can't recommend that one.
Well, yeah,
not as good
marker as
the previous one. What else? Oh, damn, Trivium.
Opus?
Trivium's latest one is...
Yeah?
Opus? No, I don't know what you're talking about, mate.
Opus? You recommended that to me.
But you said Opus. Opus, always good. Trivium, excellent. 12-foot Ninja, a good Aussie band. 12-foot Ninja have released Vengeance. So, I don't know. I could list a dozen, mate, easily.
There's a few. Hey, Butzer, we'll leave it there. But thanks for taking that trip down memory lane. Really enjoyed it, mate. And hopefully we will see you soon. And some of those old teammates will get in touch with you. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Butzer.
Who knows? Thanks, Alice.